Will you join with me in prayer? Precious Lord, we thank you that it is you that illumines the scripture for us. It is not by our own doing or understanding. So, Lord, we ask that you do that you open our eyes and ears and hearts so that we may hear your word read and proclaimed, and that it is in that reading and proclamation that we may understand what your will is for us this day and every day, and that you will give us in that hearing the courage to follow and obey. Lord God, anything that is not of me, may it fall away. And Lord, may you be glorified. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our morning scripture is from the lectionary, Matthew 13, starting with verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold everything that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have had the immense pleasure and privilege of serving at New Wilmington Mission Conference for the past 7 years as a college counselor. I've had the opportunity to get to know college students from all walks of life, from all over the globe. It has been a humbling and challenging and enlightening task for the last 7 years. But I must confess, my first couple years, I was missing the point. I didn't get to know the kids as much as I should have. It was not a call of relationship, but a call of tasks. In my last few years, I have had the immense privilege of going deeper with some of these young men and young women. And I would like to tell you about two of them. I met Kelly 4 years ago when Kelly was outside the dorm trying to sneak a cigarette. Kelly is a young woman who has been broken by her family. Her family's divorce not only ripped her parents apart, but ripped her apart, ripped her family apart. She is consumed by guilt and pain and anger and low self-esteem. Kelly turns to drugs and alcohol and God only knows what else to drown her pain. But yet Kelly finds herself year after year at New Wilmington Mission Conference, finds herself searching for something even if she does not know what, finds herself drawn to this place and this time. I also had the immense privilege of meeting another young woman named Steph. Steph, it would seem, would be the complete opposite of Kelly. Steph is on fire. Steph has joy and enthusiasm that puts me to shame. Sometimes it's hard to be around her because I wish that I could have what Steph has. Steph is ready to give it all up. She is so inspired and empowered. Everything that she does is for God and God's glory. Steph is about to graduate college, and I have this sneaking suspicion that within a year she'll be a long-term mission coworker, serving God somewhere in the bush of Africa. These two women have been brought to the same place, to the same time, to the same fellowship and the same worship. My first few years of New Wilmington and serving there, it would have been very easy to gloss over them and assume that they are similar because we are at similar places and times. But they are very different. And I think that this text is the same. It's very easy to think that they are saying the same thing. One commentator literally said that this means the same thing, that both parables are saying that the kingdom of heaven is worth something of great value. But I think it means so much more. I think when we look at this, it's going to tell us so much more about what it means to be called into ministry, to ministry of word and sacrament, to ministry of teacher, preacher, and professor, and pastor. When you look at the Greek, there is a distinct difference, and I'm kind of glad that Dr. Gagnon's not here because he would have a heart attack hearing me say, when you look at the Greek. My Greek students, classmates would understand, Greek is not my strength. But when you look at the Greek, it's very easy to see some distinct differences in these two parables. Both begin exactly the same. The kingdom of heaven is like. The Greek syntax is the same in both verses, but the similarities stop there. The first verse is followed by a dative noun that is a thing. Treasure, followed by a passive verb, meaning to conceal. Passive, thing. The second parable is the opposite. It is a person that is followed that comparison. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, and the verb that follows is active. It means to seek. There's tension in these two parables. There's tension in working in the church, in being called to people, because if we are true to the gospel, we are going to have Kelly, and we are going to have Steph. And any church that does not have both is missing the point. I believe Kelly, in some ways, is like the first parable. She is digging in the dirt, not even aware that there is something of value to be found. She's digging because she has this sense that this is where she's supposed to dig, even though she does not understand it and has not given herself fully to it. Steph is the second parable. Steph is ready to sell everything for that pearl of great price. There's tension. There is a passivity and an activity of the kingdom of heaven. In Dr. Allison's commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about how the first parable and the second parable are different. He disagrees with scholars that would say otherwise. The first parable is about God's grace, that we have nothing to do with it. We are passive. But the second parable is about our response, our obedience, our action in reaction to that grace. There's tension, passivity, activity. What does this have to do with our call to be leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ? I don't think it just has to do with having that person that follows the ideas of Steph and that person that falls into the category of Kelly. I don't think it is just that. I think there is tension within us as the pastor. And we can't be someone who tries to explain it away, but rather we need to accept that that is our role. The tension is okay, and when we try to get rid of it, we are losing the context. I was raised in a Presbyterian church, probably similar to many of you if you were raised in a mainline denomination church. I was raised in a formal church, a proper church, a traditional church. We stood when we were supposed to stand. We sat down when we were supposed to sit down. We didn't look to the left or the right. We still, to this day, do not have a passing of the peace because that would be out of our comfort zone. And I was raised, whether it was purposeful of the church and its leadership, to believe that if I had questions, I was not a true Christian. If I had tension and lack of understanding, then I didn't get it and I just needed to work harder. I challenge us as the pastors of Christ Church. We have a special calling. We have a unique calling and a powerful and intimidating calling to allow that tension to exist in our churches and in ourselves. I believe faith is faith. It is not apologetics. It is not arguing, or it would not be faith. Our calling is to claim Christ, to confess Christ. There's a story in Mark of a man of power that comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his demoniac son. He says, "Jesus, if you can, heal my son." And Jesus responds, if I can? I mean, really, have you seen what's been going on?" And the man has this amazing moment. He cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief." I think in the tension of these parables where the kingdom of heaven is external and something that we cannot understand and we may find occasionally when we're digging in the dirt, but is also something internal, is something that God is driving us forward to seek, to find. In this tension, it is our call as the pastor to cry out, "I believe, help my unbelief." Thanks be to God. Amen.